This recording is for educational purposes only. The name brand products referenced are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or mitigate any disease or illness. Health testimonies represent the personal experiences of the individuals and should not be viewed as medical advice.
Today we're going to talk about a topic that was inspired by Mr. Tim Dominey. He asked me a couple of weeks ago, he's like, hey, I'm getting a lot of people inquiring about this. Can you cover this topic? So that topic that he was asking me about was parasites, more specifically human parasites. So I'm going to cover that a little bit more in depth today. Again, as many of you know, this is a short call, so we don't have time to go into deep discussion on this, but let me go over some of the highlights of this, because according to the CDC, human parasites are divided into three categories. There's protozoa, okay, and protozoa would be different types. I'll give you that in a second. There's helminths, which are more like parasitic worms, and there are ectoparasites. So there's three different types. And it's estimated that here in the United States, we're pretty blessed in that we, as a general society, have a lot less human parasites than many other parts of the world, especially more underdeveloped parts of the world or areas that are tropical. Again, a lot of reasons for that. But the goal here is if we have a parasite, right, in the body, to get rid of it. But let's back up and find out, well, how do we have these happening, right? I mean, that should be one of the things that we ask ourselves, and what kinds of parasites are they? So as an example, let's go into the protozoa for just a quick example. Single-celled organisms, can't see them with the naked eye. They definitely have ability to replicate inside our bodies. Some examples would be Giardia, and maybe you would know that if you had maybe like severe diarrhea, possibly from drinking contaminated water. I know when I go and I travel to foreign countries, I'm always very cautious about drinking a purified form of water just for that reason. Plasmodium is another one. Okay, this is something that's transmitted by mosquitoes that are often responsible for malaria. And again, we don't have a big problem with that necessarily here in the United States, but in other countries that can be an issue. So if you're traveling internationally, again, that would be one to be concerned about. That's why, by the way, there is a vaccine, so to speak, or you can get an injection to fight against potential malaria. Cyclospora is often a foodborne illness that will take root in the body, and usually coming from oftentimes maybe raw produce that hasn't been cleaned or washed properly. Helminths are those parasitic worms, okay, and those are, again, pretty tiny, microscopic in nature, but they can be visible without a microscope in their adult stages. The good news is adult worms typically cannot multiply inside the body. That's the good news. Some of the examples of very common ones that you've probably heard of, tapeworms, those are usually contracted from undercooked meat. Pinworms are these tiny little worms that cause normal itching in the body, especially around the anal area. And we also have soil-transmitted larvae in hookworms. And you can get that from just maybe walking barefoot in an area that maybe you could pick those up. Then we also have things that can live on the surface of the skin, right, what are called those ectoparasites. And those could come from things like an insect. You could be out in the yard. You could get exposed to something. Other potential examples that we've all heard of, like head lice, scabies, ticks, bed bugs, those kinds of things. So these are all common parasites that we can encounter in our day-to-day lives and world. Now, the good news is most of these parasites, for the most part, don't cause us a lot of issues, especially if there's not an abundance of them. So it's not something to get freaked out about or super scared about, but it is something to be aware of. Okay, and again, where can we get these? Well, if we're drinking poor quality water. So again, I mentioned if I'm traveling outside the country, very cautious, especially about the water I'm drinking. Eating raw produce, again, that's been washed with contaminated water. And then we also have, you know, undercooked meats. Again, consuming raw meat. I'll be honest, I love sushi. Don't eat it a lot, but I do love it. But I also understand that when I'm eating sushi, it's one of those things I have to be careful of, because if I'm not getting quality sushi, there's a much greater chance that that poor quality raw meat could contain some potential parasites. And so it's the reason I don't eat a lot of sushi, is because I know that risk always exists. And when I do, I try to eat it from a high quality source or a restaurant that I know is serving good quality meat. So where else can we get it? We can get it from poor hygiene. So if we were handling animals, you know, that maybe had some parasitic infection, or we were maybe just having poor hygiene after using the restroom, that can be one of the areas, right? Again, I mentioned a moment ago, if we were walking barefoot, but maybe we're out walking in an area where we're either walking on contaminated soil, or maybe this is soil where there's either animal or even human feces. I know my wife and I, we've often had composting applied to our yard, and I know one of the precautions that the company puts out when we apply compost to the yard is it's waste material, you know, from animals and I think to some extent from humans. And while it makes the grass grow green and like crazy, you wouldn't dare walk out there with your bare foot just because, again, you might end up with a parasitic kind of an infection. And of course, we all know that, again, blood feeding insects like mosquitoes or sand flies or, again, ticks can inject parasites into the bloodstream. Okay, so how do we know we have maybe a parasitic infection? Well, it could form in different ways. I mean, as an example, if you have consistent bloating, watery diarrhea, or maybe, you know, abdominal cramps, vomiting, nausea, those kinds of things could, not always, could be symptoms of gastrointestinal distress related to parasites. Just chronic fatigue, as an example, can be parasites consuming things like iron and vitamin B12 out of your body. So if you have a blood test, as an example, you find out you're low in iron or low in vitamin B12, again, doesn't always necessarily point to a parasitic infection, but it could be something worth looking into. You know, dermatological issues, you know, on the surface of the skin, like rashes or hives or, you know, just intense localized itching as an example, especially if it was around the anal area, that could be an indication of pinworms, for one example of a parasitic infection. Or, again, you've heard about this, there's been jokes about this a lot, but, you know, you talk about somebody who eats a lot of food but yet still seems to never gain any weight, right? Well, they always joke about, well, that person must have a tapeworm. Well, there is some valid truth to that. I mean, if you had, in this example, a tapeworm, chances are you're going to have an increased appetite, but yet probably less likely to gain weight, okay? So how do we know, though? I mean, that's the real thing. I mean, we can guess. We can say, well, maybe some of these symptoms could be related to parasitic infections, and it is possible. But probably the best thing to do is to have some diagnosis done by a medical facility who's, you know, accustomed to doing these kind of things. You know, this is not one of those things where you just take it lightly. If you're going to investigate your body, then you want to go to somebody who has history, whether that's a traditional medical facility or that's a holistic practitioner who has this ability and this skill set because they've done this many, many times. And that usually involves things like a stool exam. So that's one way to do it, right? They can look at stool samples, and under a microscope, they can find eggs or active organisms. Another way would be looking at your blood tests, right, for specific antibodies or antigens or elevated eosinophils could be an example of, again, potential parasitic infection. Or you can also use an endoscopy, you know, and they can actually use imaging within the GI tract or scans to look for potential issues. Now, if we think we have it, or if we've discovered through testing that we do have it, how do we get rid of it? Okay, and that's again, the more important thing to consider here is that if we do have or suspect we do have, how do we get rid of it? Okay, and I'm going to probably challenge some of what you've seen on social media right now, but I don't think automatically resorting to some parasitic cleanse that you saw some, you know, popular social media influencer talk about is necessarily the smartest way to go. The reason being is because there's a lot of conflicting opinions out there about how to do this, right? And the market is gladly willing to sell you all kinds of things for parasitic cleansing. So let's talk about just some of the things that we know can help to starve those parasites and maybe from a more natural perspective help you battle anything that could be parasitic in nature in your body. One example is increasing your fiber intake, such as fruits and vegetables, whole grains, because we want to promote bowel regularity. Now, just by having regularity, we can expel worms more effectively. As you guys know, in Zuma, one of the things that you can do to help in that area is Nature's Body Cleanse. So if you are finding that, you know, constipation is part of your challenge, or you don't have regular bowel movements, then you can use something like Nature's Body Cleanse from Zuma that can help improve that. And again, increase the likelihood of expelling some of those worms or parasites. We want to avoid as much as possible these high sugar foods or highly processed foods, because quite honestly, parasites love that stuff. You know, you may love it as a human, your taste buds may love it, but really parasites love it too. So again, if we're trying to starve our body or starve parasites in our body, if we suspect there's an issue there, avoiding sugar as much as possible and avoiding as much processed foods as possible, definitely a smart decision. Eating fermented foods like yogurt and kefir and sauerkraut and kimchi. Why? Because they're rich in probiotics and they can promote gut health. And remember, about 70% of your immune system sits in your gut. And if you have a strong immune response against parasitic infections, that's often coming from your gut health being in good stead. So obviously eating those foods is good. If you are one that doesn't necessarily like to eat a lot of those kinds of foods, I get it. They're not usually the most exciting foods to eat. Sauerkraut and kimchi usually draw some very mixed reactions from people. Keep in mind, in Zumi, you've also got some pretty awesome support there with your Xyome 365 as your prebiotic and your probiotics. As your probiotic, those two together really do an incredible job of supporting your overall gut health, both on the front end with the prebiotics and on the back end with the probiotics. Other foods that people tend to like a lot that can help is garlic and onions. Both of them have antimicrobial properties and, again, can help support the expelling, if you will, of the parasites. In fact, garlic is actually known for its anti-parasitic effects. So what other foods can we use that can have maybe some anti-parasitic effects? Pumpkin seeds. That's actually known to paralyze intestinal worms. And again, I'm not a huge fan of pumpkin seeds, but if I was worried about, you know, parasitic worms, yeah, I'd chew on some pumpkin seeds. Papaya seeds also have strong worm-killing properties, okay? Black walnut. Now, this is where you see a lot of this on social media. I'm going to agree with black walnut as the form of a supplement, ideally, because it comes from black walnut hull, and those are hard to grind up and eat. So I would just encourage you to get a black walnut hull extract. Has good anti-parasitic properties. There's enough evidence that I've personally seen that I believe that that's a good option as well. Wormwood is another one. It's been used for literally centuries to treat worm infections. And so I would tell you, if you wanted to experiment with a wormwood supplement, again, look for something that you feel is coming from a high-quality, reputable company. But wormwood could be another option. What else can we do? Staying properly hydrated definitely not only aids in digestion, but it also helps to keep your body continually flushing out any parasitic activity. So again, if you are dehydrated, that is going to lead to a greater likelihood of parasitic activity within the body. Something else that you hear a lot about for various different reasons, but actually can be supportive of an anti-parasitic approach within the body is apple cider vinegar. Lots of good stuff for apple cider vinegar, and if you want to use that also for supporting the body against parasite growth, great way to do it, okay? Obviously, proper hygiene plays a role for sure. I don't think I need to probably talk to you guys about that today. But then there are other things that we can do that go even beyond just supplementation and diet. In fact, one of the things that you've heard a lot about is ivermectin. Now, ivermectin is not ideal for all parasitic activity, but ivermectin has an incredible amount of data and science and research behind it for a lot of help in various different parasitic activity and killing off those parasites in the body. So again, it's not a panacea. It doesn't take care of all the parasites that we could be encountered with, but it does do a great job with several of them that have been quite common throughout the world. And that's one of the reasons why ivermectin is talked about quite extensively, especially in underdeveloped countries, because it is a great anti-parasitic drug. Now, Now, it is a drug. You do need a prescription for it typically. There are places you can find it now typically without having to run to your doctor to get it. So I encourage you to do some research on your own online to get ivermectin as well. But I would tell you, you know, of course, that became very popular during COVID as well, but it is a great anti-parasitic drug. What else can we do? Well, you have a secret weapon in Zuma that is also showing some incredible promise for anti-parasitic activity, and that is your Silvermax, or more specifically, the silver hydrosol, the technology found within your Silvermax. In fact, there was a very extensive study that was published back in 2023 about this, and they were literally testing silver hydrosol, these nanoparticle pieces of silver that you're finding in your Silvermax product, against various different types of parasites. And in just about every case, there was very positive, very noticeable changes in parasitic activity. And again, because of our short call today, I can't go into all the details in the research, but I can assure you that after reading through that documentation, looking at that study, and this has been a while ago now, but I remember being really excited about, wow, I've got something sitting here in my Silvermax that by taking it internally or using it topically can be very good for helping to fight against parasitic activity in and on my body. So guys, again, this is a deep topic. We could probably spend an hour on this, but with the goal of today's call being short, as always, hopefully I've covered a lot of the highlights, and if nothing else, inspired you to make some better decisions about how you take care of yourself, hygiene issues, as well as using some of the Zuma products in addition to other methodologies via your diet, and in other cases, you know, having to maybe go to something like an ivermectin or other pharmaceutical remedies. If you have something that you determine is very serious as a parasitic infection, then that's the option here as well. So the good news is most parasites don't cause havoc in our body, and especially if we're taking good care of ourselves health-wise, most of them don't get an opportunity to really do any serious damage. But if we have been ungood to ourselves, or we've not been as good about caring for our health as we should, we open ourselves to becoming more susceptible to those parasites. So again, it's worth considering or worth looking into if you think you may have something that is parasite related. So I hope that's helpful. And with that, Tim, I'll turn it back over to you.
All right, Mr. Ken, once again, more and more questions about parasites and more especially how to get rid of them. And we appreciate all that information today. And thanks for everybody for being on. And we'll see y'all again next week. Until then, y'all have a great week. Thanks.